Matthew 7 tonight. The golden rule. Let's see if we understand it. Therefore, verse 12 is where we are. Therefore, all things, whatsoever you would men that should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Wouldn't you say this verse bears repeating? Okay. For the 10 of you that agree with me, I'll repeat. Maybe 9.5. Therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Don't you think that verse bore repeating? All right, we graduate 25. Let's pray. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of the word. Cleanse me, empty me, fill me as your vessel. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. This is a rule that we seem to be familiar with. And even the world seems to understand. I'm learning the more and more that I'm involved in this Christian life, the longer I'm saved, that the bigger problem with us is not understanding what the Bible says, but doing what it says. However, I would say tonight that something as familiar and even perhaps as cliche as the golden rule would do us good to understand it better. Familiarity breeds contempt. And oftentimes, the more that we hear something, the more that we recite something, the more often we rehearse something, the more familiar we are with something, the less effort we give to handling it properly. And most so commonly think they understand this. They probably have never truly studied the scripture out in detail. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, I'd like to do that tonight. You're taking notes. And for those who will list the title on the internet, if you miss this one, you've got issues. The golden rule, all right? Get that one right. Belinda, you help me with that if you would. Thank you. I respond straight from the hood. All right, nonetheless, all right. I got you, Pastor. All right. It's all good, B. Belinda, thank you for holding it down. All right, now. Even her mom is laughing. Her twin. I really thought I was seeing doubles the other day. I said, Belinda, how are you talking to me right here? You sitting down up there. Did I eat too much? And then I realized it was her mom. The golden rule. Let me give you three quick things tonight in a relative sense. The word quick. Number one, summarized in the word, really, therefore, write down the previous connection. The previous connection. When the word therefore is written in the Bible, it's always important that you need to find out what it's there for. Jesus did not begin this verse with therefore because he needed a certain number of words in the verse and he ran out, so he filled it in with therefore. Jesus was trying to say to us, and I don't believe I'm speaking for him, I believe I'm speaking as he said it. He was saying that although we have moved into a new section and what seems to be a totally different theme, he said, I want you to know the next theme that we address is connected with the previous theme that we just dealt with. And here's what he said. As we move into this subject of how we ought to treat other people, understand there is an indelible connection. There is an unbreakable correlation. Hear me now. There is something that you cannot shift about how you are with God determining how you will be with other people. And the section prior to this is how we respond to God. Asking it shall be given, seeking you shall find, knocking shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, everyone that seeketh findeth, everyone that knocketh shall be opened unto him. And then last week we dealt with our sovereign fatherhood and which father will have his child ask for bread and give him a stone, ask for fish and give him a serpent. And so we know if ye being evil as fathers treat your children right, so your heavenly Father will take good care of you. And so when he gets to now this next section and says, therefore, he says, I want you to go back to the previous section and understand there is a previous connection here. Write down, there must be a close communion, a close communion. Before you can ever get into verse number 12, you got to be into verses 7 through 11. And here's what he's saying. You got to be close with God if you're going to learn how to be close with people. You got to be in tune with God if you're going to be right with people. And some of us will never learn how to treat each other because we never learned how to treat our Father. Therefore, to those of you who have supernaturally and spiritually employed the virtues of verse 7 through 11, here's what I want you to do in 12. Therefore, there must be a close communion. Have you been asking? Have you been seeking? Have you been knocking? Listen, if you want to get what you need to give to somebody else, you got to get what you need from God. Many times the reason why we're not capable of properly dealing with other people is because we don't properly deal with God. So there must be a close communion. There must be consistent character. In other words, we've learned in the previous verses, everyone that asketh receiveth, everyone that seeketh findeth, him that knocketh it shall be opened. We have learned that this asking is a plea. We've learned that this seeking is a pursuit. We've learned that this knocking is a persistence, but it is just not an arbitrary plea. It's just not an arbitrary pursuit. It's just not an anything goes persistence. It is a asking of God when I'm right with God. It is a seeking of God from a genuine heart. It is a knocking that says, I'm going to stay with it everlastingly at it, understanding that as I bombard heaven with a clean heart and a clear conscience and a life that that emulates that of the Lord Jesus Christ, I demand that God lends his ear to me. And I'm saying to you, beloved, if you're ever capable of employing the golden rule as the scripture commands, you better be on your knees asking, seeking, and knocking. No question of it. There's a connection. And I'm wondering if we really connect the golden rule with prayer. What do you mean? Well, here's what we're saying tonight. I don't know how I should treat people until I get to know Almighty God. Wait a minute. I don't even know how people should treat me till I get to know Almighty God. And some of us think we should be treated in a different way because we don't treat God in the right way. And the reason why we're so backwards in how we want to be treated is because we are so backwards in how we ought to approach our Father. So I'm just saying to you tonight, if you have not done due diligence to properly apply Christ's teachings on getting what you need from God, you're not going to successfully live out the golden rule. Oh, this is easy. This is what we think. The golden rule is easy. You want it? You want it for you? Do it for others. They do you that way, you do them that way. I mean, it's easy. This one verse in the Bible, I can handle. The golden rule. You do me that way, I'll do you that way. I got you. But here's what God is saying. There's a supernatural involvement when God becomes the supplier of your desires and the sustainer of your tribe. Hey, do you know why you get down on your knees again? Do you know why, as she said a few moments ago, you don't give up on that wayward relationship? You don't quit praying about that lost loved one? You don't stop talking to God just because it doesn't seem like He hears your prayer? Here's why. He's got something you can't get nowhere else. There's something out here you can't find anybody else. Hey, He's somebody you searched all over. The songwriter said, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, I couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater than You, Lord. And I'm saying to you, when we dive into that deep, unending wealth of God's wisdom, and we get to know Him, and to learn Him, and to walk with Him, and to talk with Him, watch me now, the closer I get to God, better I treat other people. Yes, indeed. This close communion, this consistent character, creates a capable Christian who's able to live out verse 12. Isaiah 1:15 said, when you spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I will not care. I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Here's what God is saying. I'm not listening to you because you got blood on your hands. That means you coming to me asking me for stuff after you just mistreated somebody. Are you listening to me, beloved? Verse 17. 16 says, cease to do evil, learn to do well. By the way, this kind of put off, put on, cause and effect Bible language should come together. If you stop doing the wrong thing, you need to learn how to do the right thing. Because if you stop doing wrong and don't learn how to do right, you're going to go back to doing wrong. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. That's Isaiah chapter 1. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord have spoken it. This is God speaking to His people. Come now and let us reason together. Come now. He didn't say, I'm coming. He said, you come. What's the essence of God saying come and not say, hey, wait there and I'll be there? He said, come now and let us reason together. In other words, we're not having a proverbial debate, and you're not going to give me your case and convince me that your perspective is right and I should come to you. When I say come now, He's saying, I want you to approach me with this perspective. God is right and I'm wrong. Let us reason together. Reason what? That He's always right. Absolutely. Isaiah chapter 1, He was talking to a people, and He said, doth not consider. I've done all that I should for them. They don't consider me. And then the conclusion of that is Isaiah 1, come now and let us reason together. And He makes these statements, cease to do evil, learn to do well. He's simply saying, maybe the reason why that you're struggling in dealing with people is because you have struggled in dealing with me, and you didn't consider me, so no wonder you're not considering your neighbor. There is a strong connection, a previous connection. 58:6 of Isaiah is not this the fast I've chosen to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? We've talked about fasting. But, you know, if you're going to employ such a spiritual doctrine of fasting, you not only should employ the spiritual doctrine, but you should employ a spiritual doctrine for adequately prescribed spiritual purposes. Should be fasting for your team to win, or fasting for a sale at the favorite grocery store. You should be fasting that God break the bonds of sin upon those who seem to be captivated and enslaved. Should be major problem. You should ask God to remove things from your life that will better enable you to serve Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm fasting and God didn't answer. Maybe it was because you're fasting for the wrong kind of stuff. 58:9, then shalt thou call, and the Lord will answer. Thou shalt cry, and He shall say, here I am. If I'll take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity. Here's what He said. I'll listen to you if you get right. Zechariah 7:9, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. execute true judgment, show mercy and compassion every man to his brother. Watch this now. You get right with me, you get right with other people. You get wrong with other people, you lose being right with me. Are you listening to me? He's saying to his people, you up here in my face, act like you love me and mistreat other people. I don't believe you. Why call ye then me Lord and do not the things that I say? Well, Jesus, something else with the word, wasn't it? I can't wait to get to heaven and be in church with him. You think you're going to be excited? Oh, I can't wait to preach in front of Jesus. You're not going to be preaching. Sit down and listen. 7:13, therefore it come to pass that as he cried, they would not hear. So they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Did you hear that? Here's what he's saying in Zechariah 7. Your brother was crying out to you for help. You wouldn't listen. Now you're crying out to me, and I won't listen. This is God talking. So there's a previous connection. Write down this. There's a particular command. Therefore, just one word. How do you get all of that out of one word? It's in there. Therefore. Now, let's look at the command. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. Does this sound like a suggestion to you? An option to you? Does this sound like Jesus broke open a fortune cookie and gave some sound advice? No, this is a command. Do you remember from what perspective and posture Jesus Christ is speaking in Matthew 5, 6, and 7? The throne. Not literally. He's on a mountain. But the mountain is the closest place to elevation that he can get right now. At the time he wrote this, he gave this sermon on the mount. One day, he ain't going to be sitting on a mountain. Amen. He's going to be sitting on a throne. By the way, when he comes back, he's landing on the Mount of Olives and it's going to split two different directions. He's coming back to rule and reign, not as a lamb, but as a lion. Somebody say amen. He's coming back in absolute majesty. And listen, we're going to rule and reign with him. And then after that, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that's going to be more brilliant and more broad and more amazing and more beautiful than you and I have ever laid eyes on. Listen to me. So Paul said in Corinthians chapter 2, I have not seen, neither have ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which I have prepared for him. The next time you lay on a bed and can't fall asleep, just dream about what heaven's going to be like. Go to bed with heaven on your mind. I have not seen. Listen, travel to the great palaces, circumnavigate the whole world and the brilliant creation of our magnificent creator, God Almighty. Look at the great towers. We were in New York a couple weeks ago and fantasize over that vast city and those tall cities and look at the great palaces and the great gold and the great splendor. Travel to Egypt and look at those massive monumental figures they call pyramids, and then go to places like Paris and Spain and look at the great, great events and the great things of God creation, and travel down the nature of the Congo or go down the Nile River and look at all the outdoor beautiful creation of Almighty God. God said, add it all up together. The most traveled people in all the world have never laid eyes on what I got for you when you get with me. So he says, I'm king and I got good stuff for you. But in the meantime, I got some room. Here's the command. Number one, it takes a sincere consideration. Verse 12, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you. Here's the consideration, serious consideration. It's about you. I want you to take the time, I'm going to give you some homework. Okay? Your pastor's giving you homework. How crude. Listen, it'll help you. I want you to take the time this week, and I want you to write down all of your preferences, all of your pleasures, all of your pet peeves, everything that you would list on your own personal perspective. Everything in life you like. Everything in life you want. Everything in life you desire. Everything in life that you want done to you. Okay? And then after that, write down all of the things you dislike. All of your dislikes, all of your distastes, all of your disdains. Okay? Write them all down. No. You say, what's the big deal? I already know them. Yeah, I know. You talk about them often. But write them down. Write down everything in life you like. Amen. Write it down. And then after you write everything down that you like, and everything down that you don't like, ask yourself this question. Everything that I like, do I do it to people? And everything that I don't like, do I keep from doing to people? This is Matthew 7, right? Do unto others as they do unto you. That's what we said. That's such a misquote. The scripture never, do unto others they do unto you. Do unto others they do unto you. You know what that means? You slap me, I slap you, Marcus. And for some of us, if that's what the verse says, we are hoping some people do the wrong thing to us. Because we have just been praying to God for the opportunity. Because if it says, do unto me like I do unto you, I want you to slap me. You know why? Because I slap harder than you do. That's what we think. I can survive your hit, but I'm going to kill you with mines. And when you start saying mines, you know you're in the flesh. As Kevin would say, mines is not a word, you know. But the verse didn't say, do unto me as I do unto you. It said, all things that you think I should do to you, do to me. Okay, so most of us are going to have to come up with what we think should be done to us before we determine how we do people. I wish somebody, would just loan me one. And if you ever preach, I promise you I'll give it back. So in order to obey Matthew 7:11, I have to make a sincere consideration. What do I really think people should do to me? Now, I'm not going to hit every area tonight because we're running out of time. But let's just conjecture something. Let's just browse past a few areas of life where perhaps I'm just trying to give you a few ideas for your homework assignment. When you're driving on the road, what do you want people to do to you? Okay, when you're sitting in church singing, what do you want people to do to you? If you were standing up here speaking, what would you want people to do to you? I want people to look up. I want people to listen. I want people to pay attention. I want people to stick. Do you do it? I want people to smile. If you were pastoring, all things that ye would that men should do. It didn't say that it all happens. It said you just need to think about what you would like if you happen to be by the providence of God in the situation where you could receive such. So it's possible for you to employ Matthew 7 even though you've never pastored. Because all you have to do is stop and think, what would I want if I did pastor? Amen. If I were testifying, how would I want people to act? Is that not what the verse is saying? How would you want people to act if they came over your house? How would you want people to treat your house? Okay, and how you treat God? All things. Oh, Jesus, don't say that. Too late, I already did. And I let Matthew put it down in the canvas with you. All things whatsoever ye would. You know what that word would means? That you wish, that you desire, that you want. Sincere consideration. I don't have time to look at all those areas. But do it this week. Driving, finances, whatever. Every area of your life. If you cooked, what would you want people to say? If somebody were coming to your birthday party, what would you want them to bring? Lawrence, was that you? Well, you have a reputation. I was going to give it to you. money. All of y'all are like, I can't believe you thinking the same thing. And by the way, you probably would want it to be more than $5. Absolutely. Well, why you keep going to parties putting $5 to your cheap self? What bothers me is that people seem to routinely do what they hate being done to them. And we always good at quoting the golden rule. All things whatsoever ye would, and by the way, it's good to figure out what she would, because there might be a day when ye shall. So, Jesus knows the wheels are coming. I'm watching the wheels. You're thinking, right? It's a productive class. Sincere consideration. Now watch this. Selfless conduct. Then he says, do you even so together? If you've got a certain expectation of people, then you should have a certain execution to people. Do you like to be lied on? Do you think about that when you're lying on someone? You like to be told off? Ain't nobody going to be telling me off as you're telling someone off. You like to be laughed at? Some of the most sensitive people are always judging you. The nosiest people are private. I don't like people in my business, and you're in everybody's. You ask 3,000 questions and answer zero. I'm just simply saying, do you realize that in essence, Jesus is saying, you write your own book on what is right and wrong by how you do people. This is what he's saying. Please don't go home and tell somebody that I compromised the canon of Scripture. This is what he's saying. There is a subjectivity and a relativity to the Word of God based on how you treat people. Here's what he's saying. It becomes wrong when you do it to someone, even if it's not in the Bible, when you called it wrong when it was done to you. Are you following me?
Yeah, that's
it. It became wrong. Why? The Bible said, if it's not in the Bible, it's not wrong. No, but the principle in the Bible is, for with what meat ye judge, it shall be judged of you. So even though the Bible may not say, walking past you and not opening your mouth and saying, good morning to me, the Bible doesn't say in a verse, if thou shalt ever walkest past me and sayest not, good morning is to me, thou shalt surely die. But the fact of the matter is, last week somebody did it to you and you were out of whack all day long. So it became wrong. If you owned the company, what time would you want your employees to get there? So what time do you go?
Well, I don't understand what the big deal is. If it gets a couple of minutes,
when you're in charge, you would understand. Well, Pastor, I mean, would you really? The Bible says all things. Rude? I have heard people say that. That is the rudest person I've ever seen in my life. And you look at them going, Have you ever played a recording of yourself? You know, people, there are people today who do not like to be refused forgiveness, who are holding grudges.
Man, I ain't gonna forgive you. I ain't the one.
There you are. You the one, the two, the three. We got to be better than them. This is kingdom language. Selfless conduct. Sure conclusion. Here, let me give you some biblical principles. You reap what you sow. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But as I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Ephesians 6:8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing a man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Why? Watch this. Here's what God is saying. Not only will you get back from people how you treat them, you're going to get back from me how you treat them. Now, this is why it's correlated with prayer. Because God is saying, don't come lovey-dovey and all up with me on your knees after you just told your brother off. You dogged out your sister. You know how much God judged Israel for oppressing the weak? So what would you want someone to do? I often hear, I really don't have clothes that kind of thing. I often hear throughout the church sometimes people complaining about another church member wanting to do something nice for another church member. And one church member, well, why they need to do it for them? I ask you, if you were the one in need, would you want somebody to be saying that about you?
I ain't giving towards that.
Some of the cheapest, givingest people is the beggingest folks. You never grab the bill when you go out? But you would want someone to grab it. Matter of fact, you wait. Conveniently, 150% of the time, accidentally left your wallet in the car. Time to pay the bill. I ain't used the restroom. Again? You just got back. I forgot something. Come on. If we would want it done to us, we ought to do it to other people. And I'm just saying, that's important. You reap what you sow and you get a response from the sovereign. God does you how you do people. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Ecclesiastes 7:21-22. Here's a good thought. Take heed, take no heed unto all the words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thyself likewise has cursed other. Some of you ought to write Ecclesiastes 7:21-22 there. As you're going, oh, I can't believe he said that about him. And Solomon is saying, you'd be saying the same thing about other people. There it is. Do it again. There it is. Said Rodney. That's all he can do here lately. You go for the Lord. 7:14 of Romans. We know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. You reap what you sow, you respond to something. Write this down and I'll let you go home. There's a powerful compulsion here. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, what does Jesus say? This is a total summary.
Everything that has been said by Moses and the prophets is summarized right here. How you want to be done is how you ought to do. I'm telling you what, you would instantly catapult the level of your Christianity if you just start treating God how you want Him to treat you. God to talk to me. Talk to him. I want God to show me his love. Show him your love.
The timeless surety.
So, law and the prophets. Hey, Moses was talking about it.
Exodus 22, 21. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt.
Here's what he's saying. Golden rule way back in Exodus. He's saying when you come into a land and there are strangers in the land, don't dog them out,
because you know what it was to be dogged out in Egypt.
The best soul winners in this church ought to be people who were led to the Lord by a soul winner. Because you know what it was to be lost.
You're mistreated as an employee. When you become a boss, you don't treat people good.
Amen.
You're a choir member that's a soloist. You ought to be the most supportive person when another soloist is singing. Because you've been there. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. That's Proverbs 24:17, Deuteronomy 15:7-8. If there be any among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of the gates in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and thou shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. It's way back in Deuteronomy 25:21 of Proverbs. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if you're thirsty, give him water. Yeah. Strong words, Lord. Strong words. You mean to tell me that the only reason I need to be ever so familiar with everything that I want in life is so that I can adequately give it to other people? Absolutely. It's the only time where God actually highlights self-love as a motivation for others' minding. Even in marriage.
Husbands, love your wives
as your own body. He said, I'm going to get these men now. I'm going to get them. You know how you love me some you? Love me some her. Oh, so amen. No. You practice with pleasure. No. To you. My chains are gone. That's what you're going to be singing that day when you get married. I've been set free. I believe I can. That's not in that song, is it? We're so humanistic, so self-centered. God said, since I know you're selfish, let me use your selfishness as a motivation for selflessness. And if you've got all these high demands for how people view you, make your demands on yourself that high on how you do other people.